नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय पितृन् देवान् समाव्रत्य विप्रांश्च विदिवान्
नृपा
भोजयित्वा यथा न्यायम् वाचयम् असमङ्गलम् पितृन् देवान् समाव्यर्च्य विप्रांश्च विदिवान्
नृपा
भोजयित्वा यथा न्यायम् वाचयम् असमङ्गलम् पितृन् देवान् समाव्यर्च्य विप्रांश्च विदिवान्
नृपा
भोजयित्वा यथा न्यायम् वाचयम् असमङ्गलम्
forefathers, Devan, the demigods, Samabhyarcha, correctly worshipping Vibran, the Brahmins, Cha, Vidivat, according to prescribed rituals. Nirpa, O King Parikshit, Bhojayit, Va,
feeding them. Jatha, as. Nyayam, is just. Vachayam asa, he had chanted Mangalam, auspicious mantras. O King, in accordance with prescribed rituals, Maharaj Bhishmaka worshipped the forefathers, demigods and Brahmins, feeding them all properly. Then he had the traditional mantras chanted for the well-being of the bride. Susnatam sudatim kanyam krita kotuka mangalam ahatam suka yukmena bhushitam bhushanotamai. The bride cleaned her teeth and bathed, after which she put on the auspicious wedding necklace. Then she was dressed in brand new upper and lower garments and adorned with most excellent jeweled ornaments. Purport. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti, only spotless clothing fresh off the loom should be worn during auspicious ceremonies.
Om Agyan Timidandasya Kyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Yudha Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajataham Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patithanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hari Hari.
We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 53, entitled Krishna Kidnaps Rukmini, Texts 10 and 11. In previous verses, Rukmini Devi, the daughter of Bhishmaka, in the very most desperate condition of her life, is written a letter to Krishna, a prayer seeking shelter, a power way beyond her own control and capacity. Was about to exploit her. And for her, the worst exploitation was to separate her from Krishna. For a devotee, as long as we are connected to Krishna, as long as Krishna is pleased with us, everything is auspicious. But however wonderful things may appear in this world, with prosperity and health and fame and popularity, if we are separated from Krishna, if Krishna is not pleased, then everything is inauspicious. We find in a previous canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, Swayambhuva Manu, who is a great king. There is beautiful descriptions of what life was like in his palace. He would have qualified Brahmins gather around his bed singing beautiful songs about Krishna to wake him up in the morning, and singing beautiful hymns and mantras about Krishna to put him to rest at night. He had royal throne, armies, great wealth. And of course, traditionally, a king would marry his daughter, the princess, to another king, or the son of another king, a prince. But Swayambhuva Manu married his most qualified, most beautiful daughter, Devahuti, who was so beautiful that when the demigods would fly high in the sky in their airplanes and they would see her playing on the rooftop or the terrace of her palace, they would become so overwhelmed by her beauty, they would sometimes faint and fall off their airplanes to the ground. So not only was he the most qualified, undisputed king, but his daughter was most qualified in every way. And yet, he married his daughter to Kardama Muni, who was a sage living in the forest. He didn't even have a house. He was traveling around in the jungles. If he had anything, it was a little, the best he could provide for his wife was a little straw hut. He had no servants. She was born and raised in beautiful beds with so many princesses and maidservants all around her. There she would just be eating roots and herbs, and she would have to find them for her husband. So why? Swayambhuva Manu was actually very ecstatic. He was happy to marry Devahuti to Kardama Muni. Because although he was such a king, he's a Mahajan. He understood what is real wealth, what is real prosperity. Kardama Muni was a very embodiment of virtue, of devotion. It is said that Kardama Muni, when he would perform tapasya,
very serious tapasya in his loving devotional service to Lord Narayan that the Supreme Lord cried tears of affection and gratitude for Kardama Muni's devotion. And those tears became a lake, Bindu Sarovar, which is still there today. And one who bathes in that lake bathes in the love of Krishna for his devotee. So real wealth, real opulence is a state of consciousness. And to always keep that in the forefront of our lives is actual culture, actual evolution of human values. When we compromise our inner values for the purpose of the things of this world, it means we have actually missed the actual purpose of life. And the true human value, Atapum Birdvichastrestas Varanashrama Vibhagashvanushtasya Dharmasya Samsidir Haditoshanam. Whatever our occupation, whatever our status in society, the actual values that we should hold as sacred above all others is my words, my thoughts, and my actions pleasing to our beloved Lord, to Krishna. So here we find King Bhishmaka. He's a very great personality. And he really wants to marry his daughter to Krishna. But his son, Rukmi, is extremely envious. When there's arrogance, there's the tendency for envy. Arrogance or egoism means I'm this body, all things in this relation to this body are mine. That consciousness makes it, sets the stage for envy. Because it separates. If I'm my body, that means you're your body. If I'm my intelligence, that means that you are your intelligence. This wealth, these abilities, this popularity is mine. That means whatever you have is yours. If we have more, we become arrogant. If we have less, we become envious or frustrated. There's a simple cure. Bhagavad Gita, 5th chapter, describes the peace formula. Because envy is frustrating. Arrogance is frustrating. Lust and anger and greed, they are all frustrating. But they're frustrating in such a way that they promise us that if you satisfy me, you will be relieved of this agitation. Prahlad Maharaj explains all these materialistic ambitions are like itches. Nobody likes itches. Itching, when it's a serious itch, it just disturbs, it aggravates. And you scratch it for the purpose of relieving it. But there's the illusion that scratching it makes it feel good. Actually, it doesn't make it feel good. It just makes you even more agitated. And if you try to stop scratching it, then you need to scratch it even more than before you scratched it. Birth after birth after birth, scratching itches. That's what material life is, according to Prahlad Maharaj. He made things really simple. But how to stop it if it's really itching? Just to not scratch. It doesn't go away. Not this itch.
peace formula. Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarvalokamaheshwaram. Suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantim vichchati. If we just accept, Krishna is the proprietor of everything. Our intelligence is his property. Our fame and popularity is his property. Our wealth is his property. And Jivarasvarupoy Krishnera Nityadas, I am his servant. This body is his property. And ultimately, he's the supreme enjoyer. That means what that really means, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, is that our eternal nature is to serve him with love. Because Krishna only enjoys love. He doesn't enjoy things. He only enjoys love. So when we say Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, the only real enjoyer, that means our only real function is to love him. And find happiness in Krishna's greatness. And ultimately to have that trust that Krishna is truly our most intimate, eternal, loving friend in all circumstances. So Rukmi, because of his pride, he was envious. And people like to associate with people who confirm their own ideas, their own passions. It's like naturally devotees like to associate with devotees. Because it gives pleasure to hear others glorifying Krishna. It's the greatest happiness. An actual devotee is one who is free of envy. That's really the definition of a devotee, according to Gita. One who has no envy. That's the meaning of a Vaishnava. But one who's trying to give up envy, and one who is, even if he has it or she has it, does not serve the dictations of those propensities to envy, they are also considered Vaishnavas, who are devotees. So to associate with such people who are not acting out of envy, who are acting in devotion, to uplift others, to please Krishna. It's our great joy to associate with such people. Katayamscha tamannityam tushyanti charamanti cha. Gita says devotees take great happiness being with other devotees, hearing about Krishna. Not hearing about people saying I and mine, but hearing about how people love to hear about Krishna and speak about Krishna. When we share Krishna with each other, that's the joy of a devotee. But envious people like to associate with other envious people, even though they're envious of each other. Because it reinforces their own illusion. So Rukmi, who are his best friends? Dantavakra, Shishupal, Jarasandha, Salva, Vidurata. These are all really powerful kings and princesses who are envious of Krishna. And somehow or other they are all united for their common purpose. And Bhishmaka, he really didn't like Rukmi. I mean, he didn't really like Shishupal. But Rukmi insisted, demanded, that my sister will marry Shishupal. Because it was unacceptable, intolerable. Not just a matter of the heart, but a matter of prestige. In front of all of his friends and associates,
his sister's going to marry the enemy, Krishna. Socially, emotionally, it was impossible for him to do such a thing. So he wanted to make his heroic statement, my sister will marry Shishupal. He didn't care anything about his sister's welfare. Sister loved Krishna. She heard about Krishna. She never even saw him. Just by hearing about his glories from saintly people who would visit the palace, she totally was awakened in her love for him. And she had exclusive love, exclusive devotion. My life belongs to you. But Rukmi, he wanted to get this marriage done really fast. He didn't want to take any chances. So when Krishna received this message from Rukmini, he not only read the lines, but he could understand the bhava. He's bhava grahi janardana. He could understand the feeling of Rukmini. She prayed that I've given my heart, my life to you. How could I live with somebody who hates you? Shishupal. I only want to hear your glories, my Lord. I only want to serve you. I know I'm unqualified. I know whatever happens is my own destiny. But I will perform tapasya in such a ways that I will give up my life birth after birth after birth after birth until you accept me. This was her devotion. So Krishna, he was understanding her heart. And he told the Brahmin messenger that on this very night we will go to Kundina. Rukmini was so thorough, even though her prayers were just a few slokas, she expressed her feelings toward Krishna, her heart, her desperation, her goal, and even told Krishna exactly how he could kidnap her. So, Krishna gets Daruka, arrange my chariot with his four horses. And he brings the Brahmin on the chariot with him. And they ride throughout the night from Dwarka to Kundina. Meanwhile, Shishupal invites his friends. This is really an exciting story. Jarasandha, Salva, Dantavakra, Vidurata, Rukmi is there. And they are all suspicious that Krishna is going to try to kidnap Rukmini. And this would have been the ultimate insult to all of them. So they all brought their full armies for the specific reason of defending Rukmini from Krishna. Hari Hari. They were all gathered. And here is Bhishmaka welcoming these powerful Maharati kings, many with supernatural powers. And they're all totally on guard in all directions that Krishna and Balaram may come to disrupt this marriage. So this is what's going on outside Rukmini's little room. And King Bhishmaka, to please his son Rukmi, he's ultimately had the whole kingdom decorated very beautifully. And Rukmini, she's going through all the external forms of preparation for a marriage to Shishupal. But in her heart, she's doing it all only for Krishna. And she's wondering in her heart, why Krishna isn't here? And why the Brahman didn't come back with an answer to my letter? It's really suspenseful. That's where we are in today's verse. She didn't hear any reply. And it's just before sunrise. And right at sunrise, she's going to go to the temple of Bhavani, of Durga, the family deity, right in the outskirts of the city. And there she's going to offer her prayer. And after that, the marriage will take place. So, Rukmini, did the Brahman make it to Dwarka? Did he deliver my message to Krishna? If so, does Krishna have time to get here? Or perhaps Krishna doesn't see me qualified to marry me. She didn't hear anything. This is one of the most difficult states of mind, when there's really an emergency situation and there's a major decision and you get no answer. If you know for sure, yes, he's coming, there's some shelter in that. Or if you know for sure, no, he's not coming, he's not going to marry you, it's just not part of his lila to come over here. If she knew that, at least then she knew exactly what she was supposed to do. Perform her tapasya birth after birth after birth in the birth and give up lifetime after lifetime in tapasya meditating on Krishna. But now she doesn't know what to do. She's getting dressed for the marriage to Shishupal. But she's not getting dressed to marry to Shishupal because she doesn't like Shishupal. Very difficult situation. So Shukadeva Goswami tells King Parikshit in today's verses, according to the prescribed rituals, Maharaj Bhishmaka worshipped the forefathers, demigods, and Brahmins, feeding them all properly. Then he had the traditional mantras chanted for the well-being of the bride. Everything's such a confusing situation. For the well-being of the bride, but he knows what he's about to do for the bride is not for her well-being. But ultimately, it would come true, because what he's chanting his mantras for is Krishna's going to make it actually for her well-being. And then the Rukmini cleaned her teeth and bathed, and she put on auspicious wedding necklace and dressed in brand new garments, most excellent jeweled ornaments. And the purport says by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that for auspicious events, one should put on spotless clothing that has never been worn by anyone, including yourself, before. It's right off the loom. That means it's just been made, brand new. Nobody else has even seen it before. That's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur.
Of course, he lived in Vrindavan, and all they wore was little kopans.
But that was the standard. That was the feeling. That was the bhava. So, Rukmini is cleaning her teeth and bathing and putting on her garments and her jewels for the pleasure of Krishna. But Shishupal is thinking it's for him. And Rukmini, at this state where these verses are being spoken, she's in her most desperate state. When she sent the prayers to Krishna, she was desperate. But now she's even more intensifyingly desperate. Because she doesn't know what's going to happen. That state of not knowing what's going to be, not knowing what Krishna's mind is. Her heart is totally fixed, ananya, this, totally fixed with one pointed attention on taking shelter of Krishna. The Vipralamba intensifies the aspiration for sambhoga. This type of separation intensifies the great sense of necessity and yearning for the reunion with the Lord. And why Krishna does this to his devotees? Because he is Rasa Vihari. He knows how to awaken the deepest, most satisfying love between himself and his devotees. In Vrindavan, Krishna would engage in so many beautiful pastimes that would create apparent disturbances to the devotees. But actually those disturbances only made the devotees more acutely remembering Krishna with love. Shukadeva Goswami says, when Krishna and Balaram were little babies crawling around, they would especially start playing with monkeys who have sharp teeth and claws. They would jump under the hooves of walking bulls. They were never stepped on, but there were dogs and cats, and there were thorns, and they would always play in those places where their mothers were constantly in anxiety, in love for Krishna. Now, that anxiety, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, is millions of times deeper ecstasy, happiness, than just being in the state of peace beyond material miseries. Because material anxiety is frustrating. It's painful. Because material anxiety means we're so separated from our loving relationship with God or Krishna that we're obsessed with these mundane things. And when things aren't going our way, we become really, really frustrated. You have had that experience? But the frustration of Rohini and Yashoda, or Rukmini in this verse, is an expression of love. It brings us deeper in our love, in our relationship, in our remembrance of Krishna. They can't stop thinking of Krishna. There's maybe a monkey will hurt them.
Maybe a bull will hurt them. Maybe a cow will hurt them. And in this way, they were constantly active to protect Krishna and Balaram. And then Putana comes. Krishna's a little baby. And she appears to be a very beautiful lady. And they put their full trust in her. She seems so loving and kind and compassionate. And she tries to murder Krishna by poisoning him. And right in front of everyone's eyes, all of a sudden, they see Putana screaming and run out into the pasture and take a massive, gigantic form as a demoness. And little baby Krishna's with her. And Nanda Maharaj wasn't even home. It was just the ladies mostly. Nanda Maharaj was in Mathura with the other senior cowherd men. So here's Yashoda and the other gopis seeing Krishna being taken away. Krishna does this to his devotees only to increase their love, to increase their sense of service. When but in every situation in Vrindavan, the Vrijabhasi's only aim in life was to please Krishna. And then after so many leelas, every day different asuras coming, ultimately during Ras Leela, Krishna calls gopis. They leave everything behind. And then he leaves them behind. And they're roaming through the forests, crying out for Krishna. So totally absorbed in Krishna. It wasn't like a rehearsed drama where they were performing Krishna's leelas. It was a spontaneous expression of their hearts. They were so totally absorbed in their leelas and Krishna, remembering Krishna's pastimes, that they were performing them together with each other. And ultimately, they couldn't find Krishna anywhere. They were going to the deepest, most dangerous recesses of the forest. Still, they couldn't find. And finally, they just held each other's hands, and with incessant tears pouring from their eyes, they performed kirtan, separation, chanting Krishna's name together, sankirtan. And then Krishna appeared. And then a little while later, Akrura came. And gopis and gopas were crying, Krishna, no, no, you cannot go. Because they didn't know if you go to Mathura, which is a big, beautiful city, very nice princesses and queens and everything like that, how will you ever return here? And you're going to a wrestling match? Chanura, Mushtika, and Kamsa's there. They were seeing Krishna as their little boy. Who is this Akrura taking Krishna away? Yashoda Mai, she was weeping, crying, no, Krishna, you're not going, you're not going. And Nanda Maharaj, we have to take him. It's our duty, we have to take him. Akrura has come. What was the mood of the Vrijabhasis at the Punjari tail of Govardhan Hill? There is the temple of Krishna's cowherd boyfriend. It is described that he was cooking for Krishna. And Krishna was going. And he said, no, no, you cannot go. And Krishna said, I will be back. I will be back to accept your prasad. Just one or two days, I'll be back. just wait. And he did not eat or drink anything. He's still, to this day, he's standing there waiting for Krishna to return. That is the absorption, the intensity of their love. Meanwhile, in Mathura, while the Vrijavasis were enjoying Krishna's association so much, the gopas and the gopis, Devaki and Vasudeva, are also pure devotees. They're in a prison cell for 10 years. Krishna came to Mathura when he was about 10 and a half years old. But they were in the prison cell. They had 6 children before Krishna and Balaram. So they were there for many, many years. And especially after they saw little baby Krishna. First he appeared as Narayan, then he was little baby. They totally fell in love with that little baby. They could think of nothing but that little baby. The little Gopal told them, "Take me to Gokul. Exchange me with the daughter of Nanda Maharaj." So Devaki, she embraced her little baby. She gave her heart, her soul, her love with such motherly affection. She fed Krishna some of her milk just to keep him happy before the journey across the river. And when Vasudev came back, Vasudev and Devaki, year after year, while Krishna's performing his beautiful pastimes in Gokul, they're totally engrossed 24 hours a day in remembering Krishna with love. Under the subjugation of Kamsa, in prison, Hare Krishna. And hearing the news every day, practically, that Kamsa is sending another demon to kill Krishna. That's how they're living. But then Krishna fulfilled their wish, and he came to Mathura. And after he liberated Chanura Mustika, Kamsa, and Kamsa's associates, when Nanda Maharaj said, "I'm bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan," Devaki and Vasudev, "We've been waiting so many years for you, please. We're also your mother and father." So to satisfy Vasudev and Devaki, he stayed in Mathura. And then Nanda Maharaj, he has to go back and tell Yashoda Mai that Krishna's not with me. But he promised he's coming. He's coming in a few days. But then he didn't come. And Krishna knew, the gopas and the gopis, what their state was in separation. Meanwhile, Jarasandha, Kamsa's father-in-law, he was really upset. He already hated Krishna. Now his daughters are coming and saying, "Our poor husband Kamsa, who was such a saintly person, was killed by that demoniac Krishna." Yes, that was their subjective view of things. And Jarasandha, it was really a matter not only of his hatred for Krishna personally, but it was his pride as a Kshatriya and a warrior. If he does not get vengeance, retribution, and revenge on that person who killed the husband of his daughters, then his whole pride was crushed. So he was vowed for life he was going to destroy Krishna.
That's what Krishna was doing in Mathura.
And meanwhile, the Brijavasis, Krishna said he'd come back in a few days. He's not. Will he ever come back? So Krishna sent Uddhava. Give a message to them. Tell them how much I love them. And tell them how much I know that they love me. And tell them to meditate on me because I'm in their hearts. And just to give Uddhava, to give the Brijavasis the most authentic experience in his message, Uddhava kind of looked like Krishna. And he dressed like Krishna. And Krishna gave him his own chariot to drive. So when Uddhava came to Vrindavan, he thought he was doing a great favor for the Brijavasis by delivering this message for them. But when he saw the state of the love of the Brijavasis in their anxiety, he didn't have any anxiety. He was living with Krishna. Practically daily he was eating with Krishna, he was talking with Krishna, he was walking with Krishna, he would lay in bed with Krishna sometimes just to discuss matters. He was the most confidential, intimate friend of Krishna. So he was totally happy, free of any anxieties. And here he is meeting the gopis and gopas, the Brijavasis, who are in total anxiety. Will Krishna ever come back? Did Krishna forget us? When he met the gopis, that's what he was hearing. Sri Radharani saw a bumblebee that was black in color. And she was in such a state, she really believed that this must be a messenger of Krishna. And she was chastising him. Does Krishna Yashoda and Nanda, they asked Uddhava, does he even remember us? Does he ever think of us? And the gopis, it is described, Uddhava saw Srimati Radharani in Uddhav Kyari. She was weeping such incessant tears in separation from Krishna that within minutes her tears formed a pond of water. And then she would faint, and she was in such a, her body was in such a fever of love and separation, that when she would fall in that pond, immediately it would dry up. It would evaporate. So Uddhava's with Krishna all the time. The gopis don't know if Krishna remembers. They don't know if they'll ever see him again. And every moment, they're making flower garlands to welcome him when he comes home, but he never comes home. Every day they're making the things he likes to eat the most, waiting for him to come and eat it, but then he doesn't come to eat it. The cows, the trees, the calves, the bulls, the peacocks, the birds, parrots, the monkeys. Every one of the Brijavasis, what to speak of the Brahmins and the Gopas and the Gopis, they're living in this way. And when Uddhava saw it, his conclusion was, and he came back to Mathura and told Krishna that compared to the residents of Vrindavan, I don't even have a single drop of love next to their limitless ocean of love for you. Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Krishna tells Narada Muni and Uddhava that the reason I haven't come back to Vrindavan is because in their separation, they are so deeply in contact with me, and I am so much reciprocating with them in their heart. There is no higher love than this. So the anxiety born of the desire to serve and please Krishna actually brings us into a deeper union with Krishna on the spiritual platform. So here we find Rukmini. She's about to be married to Shishupal. And she doesn't know if Krishna is coming or not. And it's practically coming to the last moment. Now we will continue tomorrow. Thank you very much. Krishna consciousness is such a happy